أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Continuing with our look at Women's Corner in Quran City. Today we will look at the last of the chapters or the last of the surah in this section, which is Surah An-Nisa. Rather long, but inshallah it will cover all the aspects of the surah. Surah An-Nisa is surah number 4 of the Quran and has 176 ayat. It was revealed in the 4th year of Hijrah after the Battle of Uhud. And its main focus is the social ethics in an Islamic society. It sort of looks at the consolidation of a Muslim community, with the core being the stability of the family unit. The surah also has possibly the highest content or the highest number of ayats on hypocrisy, which in essence is the failure of any society. It was revealed after the crucial Battle of Uhud, which took place outside of Medina between the Muslims and the Quraysh of Mecca. The Muslims lost with many, many casualties and deaths because they disobeyed the Prophet. And what was left was a fractured community with many widows and orphans. And we find that the surah goes back and forth trying to put this community together, combining religious beliefs with social behavior based on revealed law. And as I mentioned before, with the basis being a strong family unit. We've divided the surah into 7 sections. So let's start with the first section, which focuses on family law and the guardianship of orphans. We have in this section, in ayah 1 to 35, the status of women in society. It talks about inheritance. It talks about mahr. Mahr is that gift of love, which must contain a financial aspect, which validates nikah. It talks about indecent behaviors in a relationship and follows it with 2 ayat on repentance, on tawbah. In this section, we find mahram relations, those whom one cannot marry. And then the second section, this is from ayat 36 to 43. And this looks at social directives and worship-related laws. And in ayah 36, we find the crux of the surah, a universal instruction which forms the basis of an individual, his relationship with divinity and with the community. So it starts off, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. So serve Allah and don't associate anything with Him. And now in order of priority, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. So your first responsibility of goodness is to your parents. وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَ, and then your family. And then وَالْيَتَامَ, the orphans. وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, those who are in need. وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَ, the near neighbors, the family neighbors. وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ, neighbors, friends and family who are distant from oneself geographically. والصاحب الجنب, your travel companions. وابن السبيل, the refugees. وما ملكت أيمانكم, those whom your right hand possesses. So it enjoins virtue towards slaves. It may mean freeing them. And then the reason why we cannot be such human beings. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا. Allah does not love the one who is excessively proud and self-obsessed or boastful. Let's just look at these 2 words, mukhtal. Mukhtal comes from khayal, which means a thought or a whim. And this is one who thinks of himself or herself above everyone else. And it shows in their behavior of how they belittle others. Fakhur comes from fakhr, somebody who has an excessive amount of pride. And we see throughout the Quran that the downfall of a human being in every aspect of life is arrogance. Now the word used for arrogance is normally kibr, but here fakhur is someone who deems himself one who has accomplished a lot and must be acknowledged for it. And the next ayah describes them. It says, الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ وَيَعْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبُخْلِ, they're stingy. They propagate stinginess and they hide what Allah has given them out of His grace. And if they give anything, it is only to be seen. The section ends with Ayah 43, which describes tayammum, the method of purification when one cannot find water using pure earth. Section 3 is from Ayah 44 to 57, and we see a historical example of the distortion of divine words. The then people of the book in Medina altered the words. For example, they would say, Sami'ana wa asayna, we have heard and we disobey, rather than Sami'ana wa ata'na, we have heard and we obey. And it calls upon them to believe in the revelation given to the Prophet, not to distort divine words. Section 4 is Ayat 58 to 91. And here we see the beginning of an order to obey Allah and His Messenger. So in this section, we see who has the right to legislate law. The section also introduces hypocrisy and a warning to guard against hypocritical behavior. And then a word in this section, in Ayah 69, that I absolutely adore. And the word is rafiqa. Let me explain. In Ayah 69, Allah says, وَمَنْ يُتِئِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, these are with those upon whom Allah has blessed His favors. And He says, from amongst minan nabiyyin, from the prophets, was-siddiqeen, the truthful, was-shuhada, those who have witnessed, was-salihin, and the righteous. And then He says, wa-hassuna ula'ika rafiqa, and what amazing, tranquil companions they are. The word rafiqa or rafiq comes from mirfaq, which is like a pillow or something you lean on to relax, a source of tranquility and comfort. And that is why, day after day, month after month, year after year, any occasion we can find, we remember the Nabiyeen, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, and the Salihin. Even their remembrance gives us tranquility and comfort. I, for one, am besotted with the words of Abbas from Karbala when he said, Hubbul Hussein ajunnani. The love of Hussein has made me crazy. And it is this word that I think of. Rafiqa. In Ayah 78, Allah talks about death and its certainty when He says, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِقُمُ الْمَوْتُ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدَةٍ. Wherever you are, death will overtake you, even though you may place yourselves in impenetrable tall towers. And then an exhortation to ponder over the Qur'an in Ayah 82. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Why do you not ponder over the Qur'an? وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. If it were from any other than Allah, you would have found in it many discrepancies. And then in Ayah 86, a social law. Allah says, وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُمْ بِتَحِيَّةً. When you are greeted with the greeting of life, not necessarily salam, but any greeting. There's an Arab greeting called Hayakallah, may Allah give you life. Tahiyatan is any greeting. It could come from anywhere. He says, فَحَيُّ بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْرُدُّهَا. Respond with a better or at least the like of it. Obviously, the best greeting is salam. And responding to a greeting of salam, of peace, is incumbent upon all Muslims as a matter of religious practice. The concept is to initiate every interaction with peace. And then we come to section 5, which is Ayat 92 to 139, where it is all about maintaining justice and the protection of rights. It starts off with battlefield behavior, the penal code in Ayah 92 and 93, and the consequences of taking life, even in error. In fact, killing someone intentionally, Allah says, فَجَزَاعُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا. Their recompense is Jahannam, abiding in it forever. We find advice on secret meetings in Ayah 114, where Allah says, لَا خَيْرَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّن نَجْوَاهُمْ. There is no good in most of secret meetings, except if you're doing a meeting for charity or goodness or reconciliation between two people. And the section ends with an exhortation to do justice to women and orphans. And now possibly the largest section in the Quran on the characteristics of hypocrisy and its consequences. This is section 6 from ayat 136 to 152. Let's look at some of the characteristics that Allah mentions here. He says in ayah 137, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ثُمَّ كَفَرُوا ثُمَّ آمَنُوا ثُمَّ كَفَرُوا. They waver between belief and disbelief. So surely as those who believe, then disbelieve, then again believe, and again disbelieve. In ayah 141, he says, الَّذِينَ يَتَرَبَّسُونَ بِكُمْ فَإِنْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فَتْحٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ كَالُوا أَلَمْ يَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. They are those who wait for some misfortune to befall you. But if you were to have a victory from Allah, they say, were we not with you? In ayah 142, it says, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ. Surely the hypocrites strive to deceive Allah. But Allah returns the deceit on them. In other words, they're deceiving themselves. And then he says, وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَ. When they stand up for salah, they stand up sluggishly. يُرَعُونَ النَّاسِ. They do it only to be seen of other people. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا كَلِيلًا. And they don't remember Allah except a little. مُزَبْزَبِينَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ. They waver between this and that. They are neither to these nor to those. And the consequences, he says, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Surely the hypocrites are in the lowest stage of the fire. But as always, this is the Rahman speaking. And in ayah 146, he says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا وَاعْتَصَمُوا بِاللَّهِ. Except those who repent and amend and hold fast to Allah. وَأَخْلَصُوا دِينَهُمْ لِلَّهِ. And are sincere in their religion to Allah. فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. These are those who are with the believers. And then a warning. لَا يُحِبُّ اللَّهُ الْجَهْرَ بِالسُّوءِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ إِلَّا مَنْ ظُلِمْ. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ سَمِيعًا عَلِيمًا. Allah does not love that evil should be spoken of openly, save by one to whom injustice has been done, and Allah is hearing and knowing. Now given that this ayah follows upon a discussion of the repentance of hypocrites, some say that the evil that should not be spoken of openly is the former hypocrisy of the repentant hypocrite. However, it is a general application because it reflects the principle in Islamic ethics that we have to conceal the faults of others or even our own. The only exception being when we're called to witness to a particular act in a court of law. The basic principle is evil should not be spoken of openly so that the moral dignity of individuals and the wider community is maintained. And finally, in the last section, we see the opposition of the Ahlul Kitab, and this is in ayat 153 to 176. See, in ayah 153, we see that the people of the book ask the Prophet to bring a book from the heavens, Kitabam minas sama. And Allah answers here to say, look what they did to Prophet Musa alayhi salam. They said, Arina Allah jahra, manifest Allah to us. In other words, we want to see him. فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ السَّائِقَةُ بِظُلْمِهِمْ. Lightning overtook them. Allah says, we also lifted the mountain over them. وَرَفَعْنَا فَوْقَهُمُ الطُّورِ. But nothing worked. They said, قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. This is in ayah 155. Our hearts are covered. And Allah says, نَي بَلْ تَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهَا بِكُفْرِهِمْ فَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Allah has set a seal upon them because they covered up the truth, so they shall not believe except a few. And then in ayah 157, the question of the crucifixion of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, Allah says, وَقَوْلِهِمْ إِنَّا كَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ عِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And they're saying that surely we have killed the Messiah, Isa, son of Maryam. وَمَا كَتَلُوهُ وَمَا سَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّحَ لَهُمْ. They did not kill him, nor did they crucify him, but it appeared to them that they did so. Now in this surah we saw Muslims being addressed, hypocrites being addressed, people of the book being addressed, the mushrikeen of Makkah being addressed. And now in ayah 170, Ya ayyuhan nas, O human beings. In other words, all of you. قَدْ جَاءَكُمُ الرَّسُولُ بِالْحَقِّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Surely a messenger has come to you with the truth from your Rabb. فَآمِنُوا. So believe. It's an order. And they say, and then he says, خَيْرَ لَكُمْ. It is good for you. وَإِنْ تَكْفُرُوا But if you cover up the truth and you don't believe, فَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْعَرْضِ Then surely whatever is in the heavens and the earths is Allah's. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا And Allah is knowing and wise. In other words, believe for the benefit of yourself, of oneself. Because Allah possesses whatever is in the heavens and the earth and is neither enriched nor diminished by the belief or disbelief of His creation. And then in Ayah 171, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, O people of the book, we're followers of the book as well. La taghlu fi dinikum. Do not exaggerate, do not exceed the limits in your religion. One section of the people of the book denied the prophets, and one ascribed divine status to their prophet. This ayah exhorts not to exaggerate. And then he says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ And don't say anything about Allah except the truth. And the final verse, ayah 176, revisits the issue of inheritance. Clarifying the earlier verses about a person who dies without direct heirs, and they're known as Galala. And we've seen in this surah the revisiting of subjects, just as we do in the last ayah, which sort of shows us the divine arrangement of the surah, which now looks like one long conversation. So in essence, the surah is about the consolidation of a Muslim community, with its core stability being the family unit, and its core malady being hypocrisy and arrogance. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to be able to understand Surah An-Nisa and make us amongst the Ahlul Quran. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim.